They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
A win for generic drugs.
Make it a working lunch. Listen to the Marketplace Midday Update podcast for the day's top business headlines. Subscribe on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with a global perspective on business and economics. And we'll start in India, where that country's Supreme Court rejected an attempt this morning by the Swiss drug maker Novartis to patent an update to a cancer drug. The ruling is expected to have big implications far outside the borders of India. The BBC's Rahul Tandon joins us from Calcutta with the details. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Well, Rahul, what exactly did the court say?
This is a very important decision for drug companies across the world, particularly, I think, in the United States of America. Basically, what the Supreme Court has said is that the patent that Novartis wanted for its anti-cancer drug, Glivec, they refused to give it to them. And the reason they've done that is they say that basically this was a drug that only managed to make a very minor improvement on products that were already in the market. And that is something that Western pharmaceutical companies will have to digest and really have a strategy to try and deal with.
Well, and why is this about more than just Glivec and Novartis? I mean, why are there such far-reaching implications of this?
Every time we have a chat about India, we're talking about one of the fastest growing markets in the world, a drug market that in the West is declining, but is growing here by almost 14% a year. And Western drug companies want to be part of that, but they're competing against Indian drug companies that sell their products for almost a tenth of the price. And that is why this patent case was so important, not just for Novartis, but for all those other companies who will have been watching what was happening in India's Supreme Court very closely.
What does it mean for patients who rely on these drugs or generic versions of them for treatment?
It means cheaper drugs for the Indian patients I can see at the local pharmacy in front of me, because they're buying those generic Indian drugs at a fraction of the price. I suppose the argument, though, that some Western drug companies will put forward is that if this continues to happen, what is the point of them continuing their research and development? So will we see the new drugs that countries like India need to improve the health of their population?
The BBC's Rahul Tandon joining us from Calcutta. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Well, a study from the Food Marketing Institute finds we are eating less meat for the first time in 8 years. And among meats, beef is taking the biggest hit as more people trade their steak for chicken or pork. Marketplace's Adrian Hill reports.
Beef. It's what's for dinner tonight.
Okay, maybe not tonight. Maybe later this week. Harvey Gussman owns Harvey's Gus Meat Company in Los Angeles.
People aren't eating as many steaks anymore because of the price.
One of his butchers is hard at work cutting meats for restaurants and home cooks. And a lot of what he cuts when he's cutting beef is smaller than it used to be.
The restaurants are having to make their menus more reasonable. So they'll go from a 16-ounce steak to a 12-ounce steak or 12-ounce steak to a 10-ounce steak.
And it's not just restaurants serving up smaller steaks. Grocery stores are selling them that way, too. Trevor Amon works with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. He describes beef you might see in your local grocery as
further trimmed and more optimal portion sizes.
In other words, smaller. All that scaling back is adding up when it comes to our collective meat stomach. Chris Hurt is an ag economist at Purdue University.
In 2007, the average American ate 65 pounds of beef. And for this year, we expect that to be down to 56 pounds.
That's 56 pounds of beef per person this year, or 89 10-ounce steaks. Hurt expects beef prices will break records again this year for the fourth year in a row, adding pressure to the little meat trend. I'm Adrienne Hill for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are lower where markets are open today. They're closed in Europe, but down more than 2% in Tokyo, just a fraction lower in Singapore right now. Wall Street will reopen today after a three-day weekend. For the week last week, the Dow added 66 points to finish at 14,578.
Get Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at marketplace.org.
Well, today is April Fool's Day, which means you have full license to pull whatever pranks you want on your coworkers. Well, actually, there is such a thing as a bridge too far when it comes to April Fool's Day at the office. Here is Adam Allington of St. Louis Public Radio.
My colleague Spencer Reed here at St. Louis Public Radio is a natural prankster. Frankly, I'm surprised I've escaped this long without feeling the sting of his April Fool's hijinks. His family, however, is not so lucky.
April 1st morning, I come into the kitchen, I'm making everybody a nice big breakfast, and I cut my finger off. There's fake blood everywhere, I'm screaming, I'm running around, my wife buys it every time, my kids freak out every time, it's hilarious.
By keeping the crazy at home, Spencer's actually applying the human resources doctrine of April Fool's. That hilarious prank you like to pull on your friends and family won't necessarily play at the office.
And you don't want it to be a negative career-defining moment.
Marcy Raver runs the Contemporary Etiquette Institute in Ann Arbor. When in doubt, she says it's best to show restraint.
Whoopee cushions are still fun, but plastic wrap on toilet seats are probably less fun. Hiding an alarm clock in a colleague's desk is fun, but pulling the fire alarm is not fun. It's also illegal.
But hey, come on. Putting the stapler in Jell-O, that will always be hilarious. I'm Adam Allington for Marketplace.
Well, I think my April Fool's peak was back in high school when I went to the school with some friends in the wee hours of the morning and put bike locks on the door so no one could get in. Well, actually, we didn't want to trap anybody in the building, so we left one door open. We were very thoughtful children, but they did have to reroute all the students until the assistant principal showed up with shears to clip the locks. We were very proud of ourselves, and I hope none of my teachers from high school are listening right now. But what is the best or worst April Fool's prank you have ever pulled? Go to the APM Marketplace Facebook page right now and let us know. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.